Wireless private networks are accelerating digital transformation across industries. 5G is an increasingly attractive option for these private networks as more 5G devices become available and costs decline. Let's take a look at the state of the private 5G market on this episode of All Things 5G. Hello. My name is Dylan McGrath, and this is All Things 5G, the podcast that examines the business, technology, and policy issues surrounding 5G. I am joined, as always, by my Keysight Technologies colleague and co-host, Jesse Cavazos.
Hello again, everyone. Before we begin, a couple of quick housekeeping items. Please visit the All Things 5G website at keysight.com/find/allthings5G. There you can browse previous episodes and find a ton of information related to this episode and others. You can also register to receive alerts about new episodes and get the chance to score some cool All Things 5G swag.
And last, but by no means least, please subscribe to All Things 5G on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you use to get and listen to podcasts.
So, this episode is about private networks, and specifically 5G private networks. It's a topic that we've discussed in the past, but there has been a lot of market movement here over the past year.
Yeah, private networks has really been one of the hottest areas of 5G for a while now. And lately, there's been a lot of jockeying in the marketplace among vendors, as well as a lot of actual technology development going on in the background to get these networks, these wireless networks based on 5G cellular technology, up and running.
Yes, there is a lot of going on. Remember, a key feature of the 5G standards is support for the creation and deployment of private networks for enterprises and organizations across multiple industries: manufacturing, mining, healthcare, education, warehousing, and many others. A robust wireless private network built on 5G technology delivers a ton of benefits, many of them obvious. So let's get an update. Who do we have here today?
Well, for this episode, I spoke with Roy Chua. Roy's a longtime infrastructure guy who is also the founder and principal at AvidThink, a research and analysis company focused on technology infrastructure. And Roy has obviously really got his ear to the ground in this space. He's going to fill us in on the status of the market and on private 5G deployments.
And then we are also speaking with Jagadish Dantuluri, the general manager of Keysight's private networks business unit, to get an update on deployment activity, including hurdles being encountered and overcome, and find out where we are in the cycle.
Okay, we've got a good plan. Let's make it happen. We'll be right back with Roy Chua of AvidThink. All right, I am joined now by Roy Chua. Roy is a veteran of technology infrastructure and the founder and principal at AvidThink, an independent research and analysis firm covering the latest in infrastructure technologies. Roy, thank you very much for being our guest on All Things 5G.
Very much appreciate the opportunity to be here, Dylan.
I guess just for starters, what is the state of the market for 5G wireless right now?
Yeah, so I think, you know, overall, as we have seen on the macro side of things, a lot of carriers around the world have gone to 5G on the macro side of the networks. And certainly it's been the marketing buzz across the world. It doesn't matter which country you're in. 5G has been used as the yardstick that consumers have been told to measure mobile carriers by. And so the marketing hype has gotten maybe a little out of hand. and because a lot of the initial 5G deployments were in fact just 5G NRs in a non-standalone mode, the reality was the performance wasn't that different from what they were used to, especially if they had 4G LTE before, LTE Advanced. The reality was the differential wasn't as much as consumers were made to think it was going to be. But we're getting there. I think 5G standalone is coming. And so overall, 5G is understood to be the next generation. Consumers know what to expect. Businesses know what to expect. I think they were hoping for a little more, but I think that little more is in fact coming for real over this year and next year, perhaps with standalone and new applications coming.
So I saw that you devoted a significant portion of your Mobile World Congress coverage and attention to private networks. Can you give us a little snapshot of the trends you saw at Mobile World Congress and maybe the more recent Hanover Messe?
So yeah, I think I wasn't in Hanover, but I did see all the posts and news that came out of it. And I think it reflected a continuation of the interest in private networks from Mobile World Congress. And as we talked about the state of 5G on the macro side, that same wave around the 5G hype has transferred from the public macro networks into the private realm as well. And the reality is you could have deployed, you know, private 4G LTE even, you know, recently. So it's not like it's new, but just the 5G halo effect drove this thing around private 5G for use in enterprise use cases. And so it sort of started last year, but definitely at MWC Mobile World Congress this year in Barcelona, we saw a lot of interest around private 5G. And certainly the incumbents in the space, your Nokias, your Ericssons, your Huaweis have been driving that for some time now, along with a lot of the new upstarts that showed up over the course of last year. But I do know that when a hyperscaler gets involved, everyone pays attention. And so when AWS also announced their own private 5G, which initially was actually a 4G LTE offering, obviously extending the 5G now, I think there was definitely interest paid to this notion of 5G for an enterprise use case. And at MWC, we saw a lot of examples from that. Certainly, AWS was not shy about showcasing all the different use cases for private wireless in an enterprise setting, in the industry 4.0 setting, in factories. Likewise, your Nokias and Ericssons and even in your Huaweis were doing the same. And Samsung was no different. And so we saw a lot of this kind of uptake. And I think what also triggered more interest in the news is the server manufacturers as well got into the game, right? And so Dell's talking about it, and HPE didn't just talk about it. HPE went out and bought themselves a mobile core company, Ethernet, that had already some deployment and success in the private wireless space, and certainly looks like they're interested in providing an integrated offering for private 5G as well. And so we saw a lot of action around that at MWC, and that continued to the Hanover show as well. And so I think there is interest in what 5G can do for businesses, both on the public macro side, but also increasingly they're looking at how to use private 5G for industry 4.0, for enterprise purposes, very often uncarpeted, so factories and so on. But likewise, you know, they're also considering it for some carpeted use cases for private networks.
You mentioned LTE. There still seems to be a lot of activity as far as LTE private networks. Are enterprises zeroing in on 5G, or is there still a lot of activity in LTE?
There's still a lot of activity in LTE, and part of that, and I think it depends on where you are. In China, for private networks, you know, there's a lot more 5G, and part of that's driven by the fact that a lot of the private networks in China are driven with the assistance of the carriers because of the way that spectrum licensing is done there. But a lot of the rest of the world as well, for cost reasons, supply chain availability of the solutions, right, has been dominated by private 4G LTE. And in many use cases, I would say that private 4G LTE provides you with sufficient performance for those use cases. And so when you don't need the highest throughput or capacity in a network, you're looking for consistency and reliability, 4G LTE meets those specs at a lower price point. And until recently, a lot of the private wireless offerings had primarily 4G LTE options, and 5G was a premium. And so over the, I would say, you know, maybe the past year and a half or maybe 2 years or so, 4G LTE seemed like a reasonable, cost-effective option that allowed you to achieve an ROI, especially for use cases that focus on coverage and reliability, like autonomous guided vehicles or AMRs in factories, right? Or digital signage, things like that, that are not super high bandwidth, but care about the reliability and consistency and coverage for a wireless network. Increasingly, with 5G components becoming available, with many of the private wireless solution providers reducing the cost of 5G solutions, we are seeing a lot more interest in 5G now. And I think maybe over the next 12 to 18 months, I think we'll flip and actually have more deployments of 5G than 4G out there. I mean, right now, I would say there's probably no clear estimate. Well, there are some estimates in terms of the coverage out there. 4G versus 5G is probably hovering around the 60-70% in favor of 4G LTE worldwide, excluding China. And I think that will probably shift in the next 12 to 18 months, where we'll see more 5G.
So it really does still depend. There's no sense in going to 5G just for the sake of going to 5G. You still need to take a look at what you need it for and what you want to do.
You do. I mean, it comes down to a couple of things, right? It comes down to, are the end devices available that support 5G, right? What's the cost of those things? In some cases, you know, you have equipment that's relatively large that you're basically, you know, placing a mobile router, right? And if you have your device from, you know, pick a favorite, you know, in Inseego, Sierra, Cradlepoint, whatever it is that you use, the 5G version is still a bit more expensive than the 4G version, right? You know, 1.5 times, sure. 2 times historically, sometimes, you know, previously it was 3 times, right? So that makes sense. And if you don't need the throughput, then 4G LTE is sufficient. What we're seeing is like 4K cameras, right, for surveillance. That's driving a move towards 5G because they want the bandwidth, they need the throughput. And in those cases, certainly, you know, you're welcome to go to 5G. But in many cases where, you know, your AGV, AMRs, you know, your factory use cases, you can get by with the constraints of 4G LTE. Turns out to have more capacity than you need for many, many use cases, in which case, why not go the more cost-effective route? But it's shifting. And we are seeing, if you look at some of the private wireless vendors out there, they're shipping converged 4G, 5G cores. What they're saying to you is, hey, today, if your endpoints and your radios are going to be 4Gs for cost effectiveness, at least we have a converged 4G, 5G core that will handle both for you. And then as you do the incremental upgrades of your radios and your end user devices, your UEs, in effect, to 5G will be there for you. So I'm seeing a lot of that coming into the market right now.
And you touched on some of the announcements, some of the merger acquisition partnerships. How would you characterize what's happening in the market as far as the vendors and suppliers?
Yeah, I think it's becoming clear that a couple of things I would say. Number one, Wi-Fi will continue. Wi-Fi 6E, Wi-Fi 7, I think that's not going to go away. I think everyone is saying and resolved to the fact, and when we talk to enterprises, they're basically saying Wi-Fi doesn't really go away, right? But we are interested in private mobile wireless. And I think that has value with regard to in sort of the digitization of industry, and it brings a reliability and a default security posture and some sense of control that is better than what Wi-Fi gives them today. And so what we're seeing is a whole host of companies zeroing in on that fact that for a lot of industry automation, a lot of digitization use cases, they're looking at private wireless, both 4G, LTE, and 5G as the connection fabric or connectivity fabric for those solutions. And with something like that as the enabler, then the server manufacturers, the SIs, so the full stack solution providers in the space are all suddenly interested in private wireless, right? So because it unlocks the value of the full stack, right? When you have cost-effective, reliable coverage, then you can digitize better than if you had, say, legacy Wi-Fi that was kind of tricky to manage and not reliable, and you couldn't run all your business processes reliably on that. So what we're seeing in the ecosystem, server manufacturers and system manufacturers, like I said, you know, HPE acquiring Ethernet coming in, I'm seeing hyperscalers, right? Whether it's Microsoft Azure, which has its own stack with its Affirm and Metaswitch acquisitions from previously, with the ability to come in and provide full stack solutions, or AWS coming in with solutions, or GCP, Google Cloud Platforms coming in with partnerships for private solutions, is they're basically saying, look, we realize the value that private wireless can bring from a connectivity layer. We recognize that connectivity is an enabler for IoT, digitization, industrial processes, and we'd like to offer you, Mr. Enterprise or Ms. Enterprise, the full stack solution in there where private wireless is part of it. And so that partnership, that M&A activity is driving towards the ability to provide a vertical stack solution. And that's a little different from where Wi-Fi adoption has been, where Wi-Fi primarily was driven by connectivity and coverage for productivity use cases. What we're seeing with private wireless is a little different. It's being driven by industry use cases, vertical use cases, where private wireless is the unlock factor to getting to all that data in a reliable fashion for subsequent analytics, for subsequent control, for use in sort of AI ML applications, right, to do some level of industrial controls. And that, I think, has been quite interesting and quite different. So I think as we go forward and look at private 5G, I think the reality will be that for some time, it'll be driven by the value add that industrial applications have. It's not going to be just private 5G for connectivity's sake, but it's going to be private 5G as an unlock for some specific vertical applications, whether it's manufacturing or transportation, logistics, or healthcare, or even digital signage, or oil and gas exploration, or mining operations, or public safety. I think the reality is that the vertical applications and the use cases will drive the application of private 5G in some vertical value-added stack, right? And that's what the expectation is, at least that I have, for the near future.
Great. Well, we wanted to put you on the spot and ask you to make a prediction about the pace of 5G private network adoption. I heard you say earlier that you saw it as maybe 60 to 70% LTE and that you see that flipping in the next year or so. Do you believe it will flip completely to where we'll see a year from now, we'll be saying that it's 60 to 70% 5G?
I think for a year from now, I think for new deployments, I think we'll see something like expectations about 60% to 70% will be led by 5G is my expectation. And that I'm looking at some of the price points coming in for some of the new vendors in the space that have actually, surprisingly, they're offering the 5G radios effectively the same price as what they had offered the 4G radios previously. And that's surprising. Oh, wow. Right. Yeah, I was surprised. And that's the case. And I'm hopeful that that will then spur and drive the uptake of 5G, which is where when we talk to enterprises, that's where they want to be, obviously, because it's the new thing. But also, sure, it does bring new capacity and new capabilities. And, you know, with the unlock of the supply chain, with the rate of technology advancement, my hope and expectation, given what I've seen, at least so far this year, is that hopefully in 12, maybe 18 months, that we will in fact see a larger new adoption of 5G radios than 4G for private wireless applications.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Roy. Really appreciate you joining us on all things 5G.
You're very welcome, Dylan. Enjoyed our chat.
Okay, and we are back. We are joined once again by Jagadish Dantaluri, the general manager of Keysight's Private Networks Business Unit. Hello, Jagadish, and welcome back to All Things 5G.
Hey, Dylan and Jesse. Nice to be back here.
Hi, Jagadish.
Okay, so far in 2023, that is the year we're in, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of noise around private networks. I know that coming out of Mobile World Congress and the recent Hanover Messe, there was a lot of private networks related news. Can you give us a quick snapshot on what's taking place in private networks right now?
Absolutely, Dylan. In fact, since we last spoke, there has a considerable progress in the private networks deployment. In fact, right now, the number of networks that are being rolled out are outpacing the number of trials and POC announcements. Most of the existing rollouts are also being implemented using 5G rather than LTE. Last year, it was mostly about LTE, but right now, as I see, they are mostly 5G. Also, the industry is trying to consolidate As you know, there are multiple stakeholders in this industry, starting with the end customers, the systems integrators, the ICT players, the operational technology players, the operators who has the spectrum, and of course, the hyperscalers. Each one of these guys realize that they need partnerships, they need to work together to provide a solution to the end customers. Interestingly, the market is also realizing that there must be an harmonization between the IT experts and the OT side experts, or the cellular side expert to a certain extent. Some of the announcements that we have seen at MWC kind of indicates that that is what happening. For example, HPE has announced to acquire Ethernet, a core network provider. What I can see is that even though HPE has their own core product, they are trying to acquire Ethernet to get the customers in the cellular space. So that is a kind of getting that expertise, getting that channel into the cellular space to deploy the private networks. We also have seen few other announcements. For example, Dell is working with Nokia, and Nokia would use Dell powered servers family in their Mixi offerings. We also have seen an announcement from Celona that they would now offer the solutions globally. Ericsson launched a new service called the Cradlepoint NetCloud Private Network. And we also have seen few other announcements, such as from AWS with partnering with a few operators like Deutsche Telekom, KDDI, Orange, etc. In fact, Keysight also has its own announcement. We are partnering with Future Technologies, a systems integrator, to basically helping them design, deploy, and operate the private networks. So there is a lot of buzz going on around, and in fact, I'm seeing quite a bit of progress as well.
Wonderful. In terms of actual deployments that you're involved in or have been involved in, what kind of specific challenges are you running into, and are the solutions to these problems difficult to overcome?
So Jesse, to answer your question, let me explain a few of the deployments that we are working without naming the names. The few deployments that currently we are working are in the Industry 4.0 applications like smart manufacturing, and also in the process industry. In each of these cases, it all starts with understanding the use case and then converting that into the network requirements. Typically, this is done by the systems integrators whom we help in the network planning and design. They need to understand the spectrum, whether the spectrum is clear without any interference, and also understanding where to put the small cells on, how many need to be deployed. They also need to understand the capacity requirements, the application performance requirements. And so we help in the deployment, and after deployment, the end-to-end performance analysis. Also, we also would help them in the capacity testing. Let's say as an example, in a smart factory, if they need, let's say, 1,000 AGVs, automated guided vehicles, during normal operations, on day one of the deployment, they would not have that many AGVs. So we help with our UV emulation solution, testing that load with 1,000 AGVs. And we also can emulate the industrial traffic on top of these UVs to basically test the performance and the capacity of the network. We also have a solution to stress the network security. So all these things are done during the network deployment or just after the network deployment. The other challenges that we see specifically in some of the industrial applications is about the latency. Although there is some hype about how much latency is required, like 2 milliseconds, 3 milliseconds, which is not typically required. Many of the applications probably are good enough with around 20 milliseconds latency. In some of the deployments, we are seeing around 15 to 17 millisecond latency, which is good for many of these applications. So the end users typically want to understand what is the latency, what is the connectivity, or are there any connection drops, what is the reliability, etc. So we have solutions to monitor the network 24/7, understand these KPIs such as connectivity, reliability of the connection, and the latency, etc. When this data is collected, that can also be used for diagnostics if there is any problem during the normal operations of the network. So these are some of the challenges that we are seeing, Jesse, and we are helping our customers.
Great, thanks.
So Jagadish, when you look at what we traditionally think of as the traditional wireless ecosystem, network equipment manufacturers, device makers, operators, is interest in private networks hottest in any particular area among any particular group? I know you outlined some of those activities that are taking place. Is this something that is seen as an opportunity kind of across the board?
It is seen like an opportunity across the board. In fact, we're also seeing new stakeholders, particularly the operational technology players like Siemens, Bosch, and Phoenix Contact. But we're also seeing a few other players like the hyperscalers, Dell, AWS, Azure, HPE. All these guys are trying to entrench into the market with various partnerships. And in that sense, when you see the announcements from the MWC and also outside of MWC, you see a lot of partnerships or positioning by these vendors. They, each one of these are seeing that private networks is a way to grow, expand their existing market. But as far as the devices themselves is concerned, just to concentrate a little bit on the devices themselves, particularly for the 5G private networks, there is a lack of enough 5G devices for the applications and the use cases. For example, in many of the applications, what we are seeing is like a torque machine with 5G modem or a human machine interface with a 5G modem or the AGVs with a 5G router attached to it. For all of these things, we are still in the early phase of the availability of the 5G devices and also the cost of the overall network deployment and running with 5G is a little bit higher compared to LTE. So we're still seeing these challenges, but as far as the ecosystem is concerned, each of these ecosystem stakeholders are really pumped up and positioning themselves to achieve some part of this market.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Jagadish, as always, for your time. This has been an education.
Awesome, Jesse and Dylan. It's always nice speaking with you both.
And we're back. So we got a pretty good update of what is taking place in the 5G private network space and even kind of some predictions.
Yeah, they were a little tepid on the predictions front, but we'll have to hold them to it.
Yeah, predicting the future is a tough gig, but I think it's pretty safe to say they both see a significant increase in 5G private network deployment over the next 12, 18 months.
No doubt. And as we've discussed before, the benefits are clear and the technology is right.
Very true. But I think we're going to have to leave it there for now.
That's a wrap then. Reminder to go to the All Things 5G webpage at keysight.com/find/AllThings5G. And please subscribe to All Things 5G via iTunes, Spotify, or whichever platform you use to get your podcast.
And keep an eye out for the next episode of All Things 5G, which is going to be more about private networks.
Until then, this is All Things 5G, signing off.